says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And I guess that's what we're trying to say. Every day is a daily walk with him. Every day is a day, a new day. Every day things change.
Amen.
And we have to adjust.
Yep.
And if we don't adjust, we'll be let on the sidelines. We're going to play a good ball game, or we're going to be put on the sidelines if someone else move in.
Amen.
But God wants to use us. And you have to, when I even, Lisa called asking about speaking, I said, me? I said, you know, it's been many years for me. But then I told her this morning, I said, you know, it makes you, shows you where you're at in the Word of God, too.
Yes.
When it's a last-minute thing like that. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Or it's just like, do I have to cram everything like an exam or something? But we should be a flow when we walk with God. We should walk with him in just a flow. It should be a step. Every day we take a step. It should be knowing he's leading us, guiding us. We're following him.
Yeah.
We're trusting in him. We're trusting in somebody that is so powerful, and I don't think we can really comprehend. And as I walk, I try to walk in the Word and walk in his, what he wants me to do, I run into difficulties every day. On my job, people aggravate me. And, of course, I rely on Arlene and tell her all about it. But, you know, we have to have it out with somebody. And I talk to God on the way home. I say, Lord, I don't understand why this happened today. And it's just like, calm down. I've got it all under control.
Yes.
You just get yourself under control. I've got the situation.
Yep.
And that's sort of what happens in life. And like I said, this is sort of a strange topic, but trusting God in the midst of a messy day, we have a lot of messy days sometimes.
Yes,
I've been through that. And his peace and that inner peace he gives us is what we really can count on. He to calm us down, keep us in line, keep us where we should be.
Amen.
But a lot of times through the day, people get all excited, not relaxed. Then you see people sick because we've created problems in our own life. And then we're asking God to get us out of it. He's already taken care of it.
Yeah.
But through our dumbness, I might say, I shouldn't say that, but through our dumbness, we fall right back into it. We say, Lord, I'm not going to do it again. Here I am. I'll throw these ABCs up. Not going to do it again. But anyways, we do. We fall into temptations, situation. But he has already overcome everything. He's done it all.
Amen.
And I like this. Seek the Lord and his strength. His strength. Not our strength. His strength.
Yes.
And seek his face evermore. Look to Jesus for all our strength, our guidance and directions. And things will go a lot better.
Amen.
Did you ever notice sometimes you talk to Christian people about Christianity? They're born again Christians. They get excited, all nervous and upset. Because you're talking about Jesus. But they get like, what are we doing this for? Can't you share with Christian people?
Mm.
You know, it's like, let's put this aside. Come on, let's hide it. I don't want anybody to know. Well, that's not the way it is. Jesus should be front and forth among everything.
Yes, he should.
And I know the first couple times I had witnessed after I got saved, it's like, it didn't go too good. You know? I didn't really know exactly how to minister to people. You know, back in those days, I think, surely, you know, we didn't have the teaching we have today.
No.
Today we have better teaching. The Word of God's the same, but we're just being instructed better, and we're learning more, and we're trying to absorb what we've been taught over the years and try not to fall back on those mistakes and try to learn what's coming about and how the Word of God can operate in our life. When I was a Christian, when I became a Christian back in 1969, I didn't realize some of these things today. I did what I thought was right, according to this. And, of course, some of the scripture, I didn't understand when I read some of it. You know, you're just like, someone's Greek. But, I mean, today you learn as you get good teaching. Like, you know, I listen to Pastor Lisa. I listen, I hear a lot of good teaching from her. And we have a good pastor, I'm telling you. We ought to be thankful for that every day. And then Brother Lynn comes in sometimes. I learn from him, reprogrammed. But you learn a lot from how people teach the Word of God. And if we'll learn to take instructions and not just sit there and like, well, I knew that. Just like some of the scripture you might have said, well, I knew that. Sure, we knew it. But how did we actually read it? Did we read it with emphasis? Or we just say, well, I knew that. And some of the scripture we've probably read over a lot of times. But until we actually take note of it and really realize what it really says to us. And do you ever sit and expect God to speak and want God to speak to you? You sit there and you say, I don't hear anything of God. But see, God speaks in that small voice that we've got to really be in tune with him to hear him.
Yes.
I mean, God just doesn't jump out and hit you over the head and say, hey, I'm talking to you. He's got that low, he speaks to our spirit, and we had to be responsive to him. And if we're not, we're going to miss a lot of things he's saying to us. and callings and things that he has planned for us. Who would ever thought me, 66 years old, getting up there speaking again this morning? I never dreamed it. I thought, well, there's days behind me, you know. And Pastor Hannes Fox, he gave me a few opportunities to speak. And after Brother Shirley and Sister Shirley and Brother Jack. But, you know, God works in many ways. Yes. And he does give us opportunities. And we have to take them. Even though I said, me? You know, when she called me, I said, Arlene, of course, Arlene spoke for me. She said, he'll do it. And she called me at work. I said, me? You're serious? I said, me? I think I said about three times. She said, yeah, I said you would. I said, okay. But, you know, those things happen. And God does work in our lives, does work with us. Okay, next scripture I have is John 14:27. Peace I live. Can everybody hear me? Peace I have with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give to you. I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many times have we been fearful, serving God? You ever been fearful?
Yeah.
I have. Yeah. I'm trusting God. Now, this doesn't make sense. I'm trusting God. Well, on the other hand, I'm saying, Lord, I don't know about this. But I'm saying, yeah, I'm trusting you, Lord. But I'm scared. I'm scared. Why? We're stepping into new areas we've never been. And when we hear the word of God about grace and mercy of God, we're walking in a new area we're not familiar with. And when you're out of your comfort zone, you're like scared. It's like, hey, I'm in a new area. I don't know what to do. But if we, like I said, trusting in God. Read this again like this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the peace of the world is a temporary thing.
Yes.
It just it goes with you, and you go every day, and you say, well, sometimes I look at the world, and we're in the world, but we don't have to be as the world. And I look around, I see people and things, and I say, am I living like that? Am I having an impact on people around me? Like my job and place? Or am I just having lip service to the heart service? Am I saying things I'm not really doing? Am I not really trusting in God? Are these people saying, well, you say you trust in God, let's see it, you know. So where does our day go as we go out in the world? Are we with them? Or are we trying to show them what it really should be like? I think sometimes we look like the world, act like the world, and talk like the world and dress like the world. First thing you know, we're just falling right back in the world. And we've sort of said, God, I'll put you on a shelf. I'll take this and put it on the shelf over here because I don't think I really need it. I've really got a lot of insight now. I know all about it. I think I can just rest this for a little bit. And then he says, what do you really know? No more than what you're reading about me here. You know nothing else. So have you really got enough of me? And that will never happen. We'll never get enough of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Never in my life will I ever claim that I've got enough.
Yeah.
Never. Because the more we get, the more we should want.
Yeah.
And the more we want, the more we desire to do. The more we get in the Word.
Yeah.
The more we try to pray. The more we try to help people. Be good to people. Even when people are bad to you, be nice to them. You see how God blesses you through it.
Come on.
There's been times I've thought, man, these people are terrible. Yeah, say horrible things to me. But yet, I think if my life can be responsive and show them a light, what Jesus really is, then they'll see something different.
Yes.
And that's what changes the world.
Right.
We don't change it.
That's
the Jesus
right.
in us changes the world.
Yes.
We're a figure out there that God is using.
Yep.
He's got us out there as a soldier out there spreading the word to everybody we see.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be a long sermon to somebody.
Yep.
It can just be a couple words. It can be when someone asks you something, the way you answer something.
Yes.
And we just need to be responsive to people, but we need to realize that we're separated from the world in our spiritual life. We're not better than they are, and we should not be a hindrance to them. But we should look at these people and say, Jesus loves you, and I love you. This is what we should look at people about. And this is what the world's all about. This is what the world's crying out for, love. People aren't crying out for money or this or that. They're crying for love. They may do things to overcome it and all that, but they are really looking for love. And the love that we only have through Jesus Christ. Because it's not our love. Because my love can't set people free. My love cannot make people who they should be. But when Jesus enters into the situation, you'll find out that everything changes in people's lives. And like I said, the teaching we have today, if you can't settle and receive today, there's something wrong. I was saying about this morning, the service stuff is a great spirit of God here this morning. And it was really a good time. And the dance was tremendous. It was great. And I thought, what a setting, you know. And I thought, God, you are so good to us. And I walked in here, and I was nervous as could be. I thought, man, I shouldn't be as nervous. Old as I am, and being a Christian for all this time. But it does, you know. When you get up in front of people, it makes a difference. You can be in front of one or 20, you know. And it shouldn't matter how many people in front of. God gives you something to say, say it. If you have three people here this morning, I'd have still said what I'm going to say. I didn't come for crowds, but I'm glad everybody came out. I'd throw that in. I appreciate and love all of you. you have a little humor. Bring up John 14:27, please. 14:27, John. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Bring up, try 4:1. Sorry about that. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, and if you should seem to come short of it. There's a rest we come to in Jesus that it's not just laying down, not being lazy and not doing anything. It's a rest we come to where we're not laboring spiritually. We're coming to a place where we're letting him take over and do the work. And what's he say? He says, I want to do it. Just let me do it. You know, God won't put anything on you. He won't force you to do anything that you don't want to do. Our self-will controls a lot of it. When we go through the day, if we don't want to do something, he doesn't say, well, you better. No. He says, I want you to rest in me. Have that peace, inner peace. Have that relaxation. Don't wear yourself out worrying about this or that. Yeah. Come to me and just be what I want you to be and let me do it. Rest. But yet we say, well, Lord, we don't actually say it to him, but we think we do. We go in and we say, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this for so-and-so. But if we let Jesus go before and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then we'll find out we're in a lot better shape to minister to people and to help people to realize what's going on in life. And everything in life is new. Every day you get up is a new day.
Yes, it is.
The things that happened to you yesterday should be behind you. We've moved past that.
Yes.
But you look to the new day, and going to work, as I ride, I say, Lord, he's already blessed today. I say, Lord, thank you for this blessing today. I know you blessed it. I don't have to say, get on and scream and holler and say, Lord, I need blessed today. No, he's blessed you. Just receive it. He's saying, Sam, I'll give it to you. What are you waiting on? Receive it. And I'm saying, okay. That's what he wants me to say. Okay. He doesn't want me to speak back to him and say, well, I can't receive it. I can't do this today because I'm not equipped to do this. He says, I've already equipped you and given you what you need. You just do it. And I'll take care of the rest. It'll be finished. But we still hassle with him. Why? Why am I doing this? Why is someone else getting by with this or that? They're not getting by with it. They just think they are. And there's so many things, just like little secrets and habits in our life, we're not getting by with it. God sees everything before it even happens. But what he wants us to do, there's so many times we think sometimes alcohol and drugs are big addictions. But think of the little addictions in our lives. It doesn't have to be major. Anything that separates us from God or come between us is sort of an addiction to me, it is, or something that I'm holding to keep me from getting closer to God. And the closer I get to God, the better I am. But if you're walking along and all of a sudden you're walking, you're following Jesus, and all of a sudden this little habit or whatever comes in, you say, well, I got to watch. Got to really watch because I'm not worthy now. But if we give it to him, that's it. And little things in our life, it doesn't matter what it is. And alcohol and drugs, you know, there's a bad situation in this world today with it. And people are crying out for deliverance and set free. They don't want to be like that. We sometimes we put people down, well, they don't want to be like that. It's something that is beyond their control. until they know Jesus Christ, it's going to be on their control. And I thought, too, also, the day told me praying, come to the altar, say, Lord, I have this really need, really big need. Now, when you come to the altar, you know what you can do when you get back up sometimes. And God will say, well, I want you to do this. You get back up, you say, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it my way. Well, when you do it your way, more times than enough, you're going to fail at it. And what you thought was a good idea is a terrible idea. But God is on the throne. He loves us. And he has mercy and grace upon us. And I think about grace so much. I think, how would we face a day without the grace and mercy of God? How would we face the day? Everything we do centers around him. Everything we do. And when we let down a little bit, we told him, we let down a little bit, we can tell it. I can tell when I'm slack. I can tell when I'm not talking to God. I can tell. My day just doesn't go the greatest. It's not bad, but it doesn't go great. And when I'm not talking to him, I'm like, you know, what am I doing? My own thing? I sure am. And then I notice each day, the less time I spend with him, each day I walk, it's like I'm getting a little weaker. Did you ever notice when your car, your gas tank gets down pretty close to empty, get a little concerned, don't you? And when it stops, what do you do? When you're running, what do? You don't go anyplace. You're done. You might be anyplace. You're done. So when our spiritual gas tank going down, we can tell we're getting a little more weak, a little more slack, and we're doing things that we shouldn't normally do in the world. I'm not saying we're out sinning and sinning. I don't mean that. But we're doing things that we normally wouldn't do when we were really reaching out to God and talking to him. And until we get that spiritual tank filled back up, we're just mediocre. We're not really that important. We're not helping people that much. We're looking at people and someone has a problem. Well, yeah, I know I need to pray for them, help, but I really don't feel like it because we've lost our strength from Jesus Christ. We're not talking to him like we should, and we backed off. And then we're walking every day, and the more we walk, the farther we go, we're getting weaker and weaker because our spiritual tank is not full. It's not filled up. It's not even close. It's empty. And then, first of all, we're going to stop. And then the enemy can come in and do what he wants to do with us. Yeah. Because we've opened up. The enemy gets come in. We say, Lord, what's happened? He says, you're what happened. I've been here. I've taken care of it for you. And you backed off. I am taking care of everything, but you don't let me. You want to do it your way. And you see what happens your way. It disaster. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4:29. I'm sorry? No, Ephesians 4:29, yes. Okay, this is what I was talking about, talking to other people. And so let no corrupt communication out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. Sometimes the words come out of our mouth, they aren't good for other people. And we're trying to minister to other people, but yet we could be condemning somebody. We could be talking to a coworker, or a friend or a neighbor or something and condemn the other neighbor. And he's saying, well, this guy's a Christian. What's going on here? Here he is condemning this person. He should be lifting them up. Or maybe they're doing something we think they shouldn't. Well, look at them people. I wonder what they're doing that for. What are they thinking of? But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You're edifying. Yeah. You're trying to lift them up. Yeah. You're trying to restore them to victory. Yeah. And if you see a Christian that's a little bit down, don't beat on them. Lift them up. Yeah. You know, sometimes we want to kill them right away with our words. But we're really destroying them. Someone comes to you for help. He says, man, I'm a little down and out today. I'm a Christian, but I'm a little down and out. You say, well, you knew better than do that. What are you thinking about? Well, they really need that, don't they? They know that. They already know this. Yeah. They're down. But they need you to edify them. Give them the words of Jesus Christ. Yeah. How good he is. How we can have the victory through him. Yeah. How we can be restored to life through him. Yeah. How our spirit can be lifted up. Yeah. How that inner man, that inner peace can take over. Yeah. How we can really be excited about something that's worth being excited about. And let your little problems fall by the wayside. But edify that person. Build them up. Don't tear them down. Don't kill them. Don't destroy them. Edify them. Love them.
Yep.
Jesus said, I want you to show your love, to my love toward them.
Amen.
So how we show love? His love out of us into them.
Amen.
We can't show it any other way. We can't. If we don't walk up right before him and don't try to edify people and do good for him, we're no good. We're not. What's our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is dying away. But edify. Let your words edify. And it may minister grace into the hearer.
Amen.
And you will be surprised if people are listening to you and what you say and the way you act and what you do.
Yeah.
On my job, I got to be very careful because I don't think any of the guys that work with the Christians, you know, of course everybody says, I know God. That's a cop-out. I say, that's for us Christians. I say, yeah, I know God. Well, how much did I know of him? I mean, you know, I knew him, but I didn't have him in here.
Yeah.
I knew him up here. I said, well, yeah, I know him. I know all about him. And when Christians try to tell you something, oh, I know about that. Don't worry about it. I'm fine. But yet, they listen to everything you say. Every word comes out of our mouth, they're listening. How we handle situations, when something breaks down, how you're going to handle it. A lot of times when the guys call and tell me something breaks down, I'll think about what they're talking about, and I'll walk around and say, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on here, but I know you know. So just help me to find this problem. And pretty much every time, God will give me a little bit of insight on what to do there. And it's amazed me.
Yes, it is.
And but that's God. That's God in our life. That's the one we serve. That's the one that controls our life. That's the one that loves us. And that's the one that admires us. He's the one that says, you are good when everybody else says you're bad. But anything in our life, we can be set free through Jesus if we want to be. It's not. It may be tough at first, but we can be. Get in the Word of God, have people pray with us, and we can be free. But if we walk in life without being free, we're never going to go far. Freedom is a big thing. And Jesus Christ said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you all the freedom you need. Just walk with me and trust in me.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Talking about the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that the Word is cutting, coming, and going like a knife. It's trying to take things out of our life, trying to clean us up a little bit, show us things that we're doing wrong. But it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if our heart is pure, we can walk closer to him. But if we let things get in our heart and we have something in our heart against somebody, we can't do that. Even as Christians, we got to walk upright. And also we need to let the Word, as powerful as it is, cut away some of the things in our life. As we walk with him every day, we know that there's things that are going to arise, and we need to let the Word cut away.
Yes.
Just chisel away until he sculptures into a perfect individual. We may not be perfect. Now listen, we may not be perfect in this world, but our spirit can be perfect.
Amen.
We say, well, perfect, I can't be perfect. No, not in this world. Not in your everyday life as far as the natural, but the spirit man can be perfect. The spirit man is what we're operating on. Jesus in us, the spirit man.
Yep.
So this flesh is going to do things that you might say, man, I thought he's a Christian. What's going on with those people? But remember, we do make mistakes. But the spirit man is powerful, and it is the one that controls. So if we're walking with him and our spirit is right and we are trying our best to serve him the proper way, our flesh suffers a little bit, sometimes does things we shouldn't, but we need to bring it under subjection to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And when we see we're going that way, say, Jesus, I'm drifting a little bit here. Help me. My flesh is wanting to do this. My mind, body, my spirit wants to do this. And I really want to serve you, but I'm drifting. Help me out. I need help bad. And Jesus speak to you and say, rest in me. Have peace in me. Use that inner peace that I've given you. Rely on that. Reach out to others and let them know how much that I love you. Show them my love. Don't just hide it. Show it. Let it shine out. Because we live in a dark world. But we can be a lighthouse.
Yes.
And where we're at, it's not sometimes our flesh doesn't want to go that way. It wants to take the easy way with the world and say, well, I'll just agree with these people. It'll be a lot simpler, you know. But when you make that stand, sometimes you lose a few friends. But you know what? Bye-bye. I mean, you know, let's face it. You love them, but they can't control your life. And the people you hang around with, that can really hurt you sometimes. You don't want to do, you don't want to separate people from people and say, I don't like you. Not that. You love these people, but you can't do their actions and their ways and their sayings because you're in for destruction when it happens. When you're with people and you have friends and they do things that you think they shouldn't and you fall, well, it won't hurt anything one time. You do it? No. You're on the way to self-destruction. Jesus isn't destructing. He's there to lift you up. But we need to really be aware and be accountable for what we do. Accountability is a lot. Okay, 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things naked and open into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So see, everything, he sees everything. We're just stripped when we come to him. We just say, Lord, I'm broken. Here I am. An everyday walk, here I am, Lord. I may have said this before, but here I am, Lord. And that's what we might come to him in our prayer and say, Lord, here I am again, but I need you. I need more of you, more of you. And I just expect to be increased with your word and knowledge. But God wants to be us to be open so he can read us like a book.
Yeah.
He can read chapter by chapter. Wherever he wants to go, he reads us.
Yeah.
And where you get sidetracked, he says, there you are. You're getting the wrong people. You're doing the wrong thing. Come on now. Get close to me. Get my word. What is it? What's it say? It's telling you, come back. Get back. But we do have times when we do want to follow the world. And I see it a lot. And that's the easy way out. I'm not saying serving God's hard. We make it hard.
Yes.
It's not hard serving him. We make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
In the things we do and the things we say.
Yeah,
but like I said this morning, this is not just for us, for me too. So Sam's listening to all this too. Probably absorbing more than you are. But anyways, God is so good and so great.
Yes.
It's just hard to explain, I guess, how much he loves us.
Yes.
And we hear it every day. We hear, oh, God loves you, God loves you. But do we really absorb it? Do we really say, put our arms out, Lord, I know you love me. Well, you don't want me to do that when we get in trouble. We got trouble. We say, Lord, I know you really love me. And we give him a sad story and say, I know you love me. I'm in a mess right now. Get me out of it. And he says, I've already got you out of it. Just accept it. I've already done it for you. I've already spoke to you and told you what to do. But you had to do it your way. So see what happened with your way? Here it is. But you do it my way, you'll have peace and joy and all this. And through the years, I've learned the hard way a lot of times. Sometimes the easy way. And sometimes I went on and did it my way and found it later on. Disaster. I mean, pure disaster. But then, like I said, the teaching comes along, better teaching today. So now's the time to really absorb what you can through the Word of God. Really absorb what people, you know, you can search out what people tell you and what they preach to you, but really absorb what God is speaking to your heart.
Yeah.
When he speaks to your heart, say, Lord, thank you for talking to me.
Yeah.
I love you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you for ministering my heart. I needed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you listen to many ministers on TV and they got some good thoughts, and the word they bring the word forth. And you say, I don't remember hearing that. I don't remember realizing that. Well, that's for me, you know. And you say, well, Lord, thank you for that little nugget there.
Yeah.
Lauren calls it little nuggets. But anyway, thank you for that little nugget you give me, because I really needed that.
Yeah.
And you notice God's always on time?
Yes,
never late.
Yes,
we're late sometimes.
Yeah.
I thought I'm going to be late this morning, but I'm saying. I thought they thought I'd go back out. I said, hurry up, hurry up. But anyways, he's always on time. No matter what we ask or what we need, he's always on time.
Yes, he is.
I don't care if it's a healing, something in our body that just isn't right, or a relationship with somebody just isn't right, God's there to meet the need. He's there to say, come to me. I've got it all figured out for you. I've got everything taken care of. But don't you try to think of it. Just come and go to that rest we talked about and relax and let me take care of it. Because if you take care of it, it's going to be miserable. But we, in healing and stuff, I guess there's a lot of questions why people aren't healed. I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I know God is the healer.
Yeah.
And I know he wants to heal us.
Yeah.
I know he will.
Yeah.
I've been healed before.
Yeah.
Something minor. Something's major, something's minor. Little things. Like there for a while, every time I went to eat, I started coughing. And I said, man, it's miserable. I said, Lord, I need a healing. Well, the next time I ate, I coughed again. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting in you. I know that you're going to take care of this thing. And, you know, if you're out eating someplace, friend or something, you're coughing, hacking. It's like you can't control it. It's like a tickle in your throat. You drink water and take the next bite, you're the same way. I went on for a little while. I don't know how long. And I said, Lord, I'm expecting a healing. I know I'm healed. I know you're going to heal me. I just need to accept it. I guess that's what I should say. I know I'm healed, but I need to accept it. So who was holding it back? Me, I guess. Because now, thank God, I've been eating and relaxing. And every now and then now, it'll try to come on me. I say, Lord, thank you for my healing. I know you healed me. And it was a very annoying thing. I mean, every bite you take, you and just, it's very annoying. So I thank God for that. I thought I'd share it a little bit. That wasn't a major thing, but to me it was.
Yeah.
See, everything, every healing and things that take place in our life can be major to us, but someone else thinks that it's minor. But to us, it's great. I mean, let's face it. Anything that happens to us, it's great. We're the one. That's right. Homeboy, everything's great. But, you know, but someone else, and this is why I think sometimes when we ask to pray for people, well, do we pray out of the sincerity of our heart? Or we get through the motions like, well, let's pray for so-and-so. Well, do we say, okay, yeah, pray, I'll pray you bless so-and-so. But do we really take that need like it's our own? That's what I look at, I guess. And I've done it before. I've like, okay, I'll pray for him. But did I really think that as being what would happen? That was me?
Yeah.
I'd want people to really be sincere. And people want me to be sincere when I pray for them. So I've thought about that too. But prayer is more than just saying I'll do it.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell someone you pray for them and forget about it? And later you think, oh, man, I didn't pray for that person. It makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
But that happens. But that's what I'm talking about, I guess, the sincerity. If it's us, it's a different story. But with someone else, it should be the same story.
Yes.
It should be us saying, hey, this could be us. This could be me.
Yes.
And like I said, my throat, when I ate coughing, that was a minor. But to me, it was major.
Right.
It was major surgery. But anyways, God loves me. I love him. And I don't have a lot more to say this morning, but I appreciate the love and mercy of God.
Yes.
And I appreciate your attendance this morning, being here to fellowship with me.
Amen.
And I love every one of you.
Glory.
I really do. I'm not just saying that. I do.
Amen.
And I love the church.
Yes.
You know, we've been many churches, but I really feel at home here.
Amen.
And I love it. Love everybody. So I'll turn it over to Monty, I guess. Bless you.
Turn it over to Beth.